There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay. This is crazy, but I don't know that I've ever heard that all the way through. Don't adjust your dials, guys. You are still listening to Midday Mobile, except instead of Sean Sullivan, you've got April Marie Fogel here. Usually I get to fill in for Jeff Poore, but I've been nagging Sean, and he was able to let me guys come spend the afternoon with you. So looking forward to that. I do have the text line open, and so I can check those messages out as they come in. So so feel free to shoot me a text. You also can any of the topics we're discussing, or I look down, I was scrolling through the text, and if you have, apparently Jeff and I have gone into this whole taco thing quite a bit, and the conversation has not died because I opened up the text line to a taco text. So feel free to text in about any of the issues we're discussing or tacos. And by the way, for Pat, Taco Mama, I still haven't been to Taco Casa, but Taco Mama does not, doesn't suck. I don't know that that's a glowing endorsement, but it doesn't suck. I do Taco Mama all the time. So throwing that out there. All right. A little bit of a preview of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to have my friend Larry Keene on, and we're going to talk about some of the Second Amendment bills that are moving through legislative session. One that passed the Senate earlier this week, and that's a good bill. And then for whatever reason, how we manage in a state with Republican leaders in charge to pass a stupid bill out of committee. We really need to take stupid bills and just stuff them in a drawer and ignore them. But somehow, not only did one get a hearing, but it also got passed out of committee. We're going to talk about that Second Amendment bill as well. And it's for the kids, guys, because there's never let the opportunity to say it's for the kids go to waste. So they want to restrict your your ability to use your firearm, but for the kids. So we'll talk about that with Larry Keene. A little later today, we will talk about, and I talked about this earlier a little bit with Jeff Poore, what's happening on college campuses and what I think we should do about it. Because I really think a lot of this has to do with the just mushiness of administrators who need to get a backbone and say to the TAs and say to the teachers and say to the department heads, cut this out, enough already. This is not what we're here for. And if it comes down to the trustees can't do it, can't get the colleges online, if the university presidents won't take care of it from that level, we just need to reevaluate these places. I am all for free speech, but there is a time and a place for everything. And we are not doing ourselves as a nation, as a society, as future employers, letting the youth of today, look at me, all of 43 years old, the youth of today be as indoctrinated as they are, not pay attention to what they're saying and doing, being full of hate, being ignorant of history and repeating that. So we'll get into that college, that conversation about colleges a little later. I have a former boss of mine from, it's been a minute. I was about 14, 15 years ago, Tim Phillips. He was with Americans for Prosperity, led it for quite a while. And he's going to come in and we're going to talk from a national perspective about the presidential race. So we're going to talk about just kind of what he's seeing there. Man, and I guess I'm going to lead off with that. Just for those of you who haven't heard me say this before, and it's going to make you very, very angry, don't worry. I won't spend the whole show bashing him, but I don't like Trump. I will vote for him, but I don't like him. And you know what? That should be okay with people. I hear frequently, well, then you're not conservative. You must be a liberal. No. You don't have to like the elected officials. I don't have to like someone to vote for them. That's not a prerequisite. Liking their policies, liking who they're going to appoint, moreover, disliking their opponent is oftentimes enough for me to decide who I'm voting for. But I don't like Trump. And even I, who don't like him, am starting to be overwhelmingly swayed by the media coverage and by these judicial witch hunts to kind of get in his corner more, to be more like more outspoken about the way we have allowed this nation to weaponize our court systems, our prosecutors, and the media falling just lockstep in on these attacks, the constant attacks, which are just so incredibly unhealthy for everyone. Imagine what our election cycle would look like for president right now if the media wasn't all tuned in to the salacious gossip of the Trump administration and the salacious gossip over tabloid stories that ran years ago. What we could talk about? Well, we could talk about the devastating effects of the open borders. We could talk about the what's going on our campuses and the ignorance of students as to what's happened in the Middle East. How did we get here? The ignorance of students in terms of what their constitutional rights are. And we just, instead, we're literally getting day after day of media coverage around the guy who owns the Inquirer, about Trump's mistress and this idea of falsified records. It is a sideshow, and it is being promoted by the media, and it is being perpetuated by them, and it's incredibly frustrated. Oh my goodness. Lord have mercy. I got a text from Gary. He says, Trump 2024, no more BS. Well, that's exactly where I am. I am no more BS. Look, we could talk all day about Joe Biden and how clumsy he is, how he literally can't remember stories. He doesn't know how his son died. He doesn't know where he's from. He doesn't know when he, you know, how, when he protested for, if he was for civil rights. But you know what I'd rather talk about? Because I could talk about and pick on Kamala Harris and her love of Venn diagrams. I could do that all day, every day, but that's not what we need to be focused on. What we need to be focused on as a nation is what is happening to the fundamental principles that make it a great country. I will have more on my Trump conversations with Tim Phillips when he joins us a little later. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Larry Keene and talk about the gun bills moving through and some of what his organization's doing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Well, good afternoon, everyone. Don't check your dial. You do not have Sean Sullivan here. You've got April Marie Fogle filling in. Love 106.5. Love this program and the listeners. Keep those texts coming. It's always great. I like to say I'm everybody's favorite substitute teacher. And this class is really fun in particular to get to hang out with. I am excited now to be joined by Larry Keene, who is with NSSF, which is the Firearm Industry Trade Association. Welcome, Larry.
April, it's great to be with you. How are you?
I am doing wonderful today. You guys are doing great work up in D.C. to protect our Second Amendment rights. And right here in Alabama and around other states in the Southeast, there has been a win for firearm owners and those who make firearm purchases this week. Can you tell us a little bit about the Second Amendment Financial Privacy Act?
Yeah, we're really happy that we've been able to move this important piece of legislation. And if Alabama passes, it will become the 15th state, I believe, in just this year to pass similar legislation. And what this is about is responding to an effort by anti-gun banks and advocates to require that gun stores have assigned to it a particular code, what's called a merchant category code. This is how credit card companies, you know, keep track of transactions. And the gun control groups want to be able to track gun sales through the use of a particular code assigned to gun stores, so that banks could start denying transactions and credit card companies could start denying transactions or start looking into what it is that you as a consumer exercising your Second Amendment rights decided to buy. So it's an invasion of privacy, invasion of your Second Amendment rights. It will be used by woke banks and credit card processors to prevent you from being able to buy firearms and ammunition products, even though it's perfectly lawful. So we're really excited about this bill. We think it's very important to put a stop to this really disturbing practice and the possibility of being able to stop your exercise of Second Amendment rights by denying your ability to use your own money through your credit card to buy firearms and ammunition products.
These gun grabbers, if you will, on the left, just keep getting more and more innovative in the ways in which they are targeting those who want to exercise their lawful Second Amendment rights. And this is just one of them. And, you know, once those lists exist, I feel like it's only a matter of time until there's a security breach. And somehow we all know who's bought, you know, who's made purchases at certain retailers, and we know how frequently they're doing it. And the implications of this is just frightening to me. And I'm not a conspiracy theory person ordinarily, but I'll tell you, I really do worry about, you know, them saying, okay, no more purchases from these certain retailers, no more purchases that are marked for this at some point. And like you said, just debanking in general.
Well, you're exactly right. You should worry about what's in your wallet, not who's in your wallet. We don't want woke banks to say, oh, that's too many guns. That's the wrong kind of gun. That's too much ammunition. That's the wrong kind of ammunition. And so we're going to stop the transaction. Right. And we've already seen the Treasury Department asking merchants and banks to tell them who used credit cards to purchase firearms and ammunition, et cetera, from gun stores or from places like Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, you know, around January 6th. And then they're also asking, did they buy Bibles? And then they're searching social media. What did they say about President Trump, et cetera? And you're right. It can lead to a database of gun owners, gun buyers, and we know that registration is a prerequisite to confiscation. So this is very dangerous, invasion of privacy. It's nobody's business if you use your money to exercise your constitutional rights. Could you imagine the government looking into, like, credit card use to buy books or movies?
No one would stand. It's chilling.
And we shouldn't allow it when it comes to firearms, which are protected by Second Amendment.
Well, speaking to that fact, you know, one of the things that it takes to make sure that we have these protections in place, and it's mind-boggling that we need them, but we do, you know, a lot of things these days just boggle the mind. But it takes, and we in Alabama have been fortunate because we do have a number of legislators who support the Second Amendment. But this doesn't happen on accident. A lot of times, Second Amendment support of candidates or incumbents, they get targeted by the left for their beliefs. NSSF has started a new PAC this year, I understand.
That's correct. Launched a super PAC called Protect Liberty PAC. And the purpose is to have the resources to make sure that we elect pro-Second Amendment candidates and prevent, you know, anti-gun politicians from getting elected or reelected when they don't respect your constitutional rights, your Second Amendment rights, your Fourth Amendment rights, First Amendment rights. You know, all of our liberties, the Second Amendment is part of that pantheon of liberties enshrined in the Bill of Rights, need to be protected from bad, you know, hostile politicians. And so your audience support this effort by going to Protect Liberty PAC, that's PAC, protectlibertypac.com. And, you know, make a contribution. No amount is too small, whether it's $17.76 or $20.24 or $40. And the next president will be the 47th president of the United States. We would welcome it. I can assure you we will put it to good use to make sure that Chuck Schumer is no longer in charge of the Senate. And, you know, President Biden retired to his base for Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Well, we know that Second Amendment voters, and I did a debate earlier today on my support with Second Amendment with a guy who was quite entertaining. But we know that Second Amendment supporters, a lot of them, and it goes across the aisle in terms of Republican, Democrat, Independent. Second Amendment supporters turn out and vote. This is an issue where there's a lot of single issue voters out there, and one of the make or break things is helping people understand what their representative is doing and has done specifically on this issue and what is at stake, because there is a lot at stake with who's controlling Congress, who's we're getting that margin up in the House and taking back the Senate.
And important, who will nominate Supreme Court justices that serve for decades? And that's by who the president is and controls the Senate. So, again, you know, this is so important. Every little bit helps. And we would welcome support. I assure you it will be used, you know, not for buying fancy suits or, you know, vacations or private jet trips. It will be used for running campaigns. And to make sure voters know where the candidate and who supports their freedoms and liberties and their Second Amendment rights and
All
who
right.
does not.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, for calling in. That was Larry Keen from NSSF, and it's always great to hear from him. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will get into some of the other top topics of the day, and I will get to some of these text messages. You're listening to April Marie filling in for Sean on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here filling in for Sean. loving you guys over at the text line. I'm going to go over a couple of these. Big Enos, is it maybe? Says, let's face it, it's not the liberal gun grabbers that don't want us to have guns. It's the elites who don't want us to have them, because only the uber rich elites who control those banks and institutions can enact these unconstitutional policies. These are the same uber rich who want us to eat bugs and move us into 15 minute cities. They can't push the cattle into cattle cars if the cattle has no weapons to fight back with. That is so true. It is. Here's the thing: is they have the big elites, and I can't help but to have this very vivid picture of the those who were saying defund the police having their own private security. We saw members of Congress do this. We saw city councils, council members, and mayors around the country do this. It is those who feel like they will always be secure who do not feel that the rest of us should have the ability to defend ourselves. Earlier today, I mentioned, so I'm in Montgomery right now, and I'm here. I was speaking to a group of about 25 people from out of the country. And there was a gentleman here who was, I don't want to say heckling me, but to some extent heckling me. I was taking questions that were supposed to be in good faith from people about the Second Amendment and about those of us who support it. And I tell people, because in my mind, the reason I own firearms is self-defense. And because I am, for those of you who haven't seen me, I'm a smallish person. I'm 5'3", and I definitely have no ability to protect myself physically. I know I should take some kind of martial art. I don't know. But I own firearms instead. But the fact of the matter is, gun ownership is I don't have to give you an excuse. We have somehow gotten to the point where when we talk about the Second Amendment, and I am totally guilty of this myself, saying I have the right to defend myself. Well, the fact of the matter is I have the right to own firearms, and it doesn't have to be to defend myself. It can be for hunting, for recreational use. It can be for competition. It can be for any number of things, and it's nobody's darn business. If my gun scares you, don't look at it. I am deeply offended, and I mean this, deeply offended by lyrics I hear talking about violence against women, violence against law enforcement, violence against whatever. I'm deeply offended by lyrics that are just disgustingly of a sexual nature. Okay, but guess what? I'm not trying to take away your right to say those terrible things. And so get away from my Second Amendment rights. I don't have to justify them to anyone. And that includes, you know, like I said, I have a tendency to say, oh, I carry for defense. It's none of your friggin' business why I carry. It's none of the business of credit card companies what I'm trying to purchase and where I'm trying to purchase it and how often I am. We have law enforcement. And if you look at a lot of the, just the horrific instances in our nation, what you'll see in terms of mass shootings and such, there were red flags. Now, I use that term knowing that red flag laws are often overly broad and unconstitutional. But there were warning signs that someone was going to that someone was going to do something harmful. Parkland is a great example of that. The young man whose parents were just convicted of letting him get access to the firearm, there was warning signs there. There are frequently warning signs that law enforcement doesn't have the capacity to chase down, doesn't prioritize chasing down. A lot of our gang violence, these are repeat offenders who judges and prosecutors return to the street again and again and again, and mainly liberal cities and liberal areas of cities. And it is factually accurate to say you could take out huge swaths of liberal cities and take out the data of them, not take them out, okay? I'm not talking about taking out large numbers of people. Take out the data and you realize that guns aren't the problem. People who don't have a respect for life, for neighbor, their neighbors, for their community, people who have no respect for anything, who aren't going to follow the laws to begin with, those are the problems. So thank you for that message. The second one is I got was, how about we pass a law to protect the citizens from any type of federal government rules that deny the Second Amendment rights? The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled pretty regularly now about one's individual rights, and we're starting to see more and more court cases related to it as the federal government and the executive branch. And let's not kid ourselves. We've had some Republicans who have allowed bad regulations to go into effect that then the courts have to undo. And so so I don't think we need more laws. I think we need to respect the Constitution and make sure, you know, it's an absolute shame that this bill this week had to pass in Alabama so that businesses can't target the Second Amendment. I mean, had the bill not passed, by the way, and the companies continued to do this, it would have ended up in the court system, and the courts would have agreed that there is a right to privacy for exercising your Second Amendment right. Or at least I would hope that they did. All right. So earlier I was talking about Trump and the Trump the Trump trial, and I don't know if this is the name he goes by or then just the name on the board, but James the Sad Troll sent in a message and said, "On LOL, Trump is on trial because he couldn't keep it in his pants." And here's the thing. That is immoral. That is wrong. We can agree. It's not criminal. And the fact of the matter is there have been plenty of Democrats with the same problem, and we, you know, look at Kennedy, look at Clinton. Our court system was never intended to be a place where we litigate the morality of individuals. And right now, this is a political prosecution, and in bizarro world, I am not a fan of Trump. I am not. I think the man is obnoxious. I think the man is crude. I find a lot of things he says to be offensive. He says things we know to be false. And yet I will sit here every day and defend against the weaponization of our judicial system. And so it's not because he's not on trial because he's a booger. Yes, you can tell him a mother there. He's on trial because somebody thought they'd get all the attention, which they're getting, to bring him on trial, to embarrass him, to hurt his campaign. And that's quite frankly just wrong. And it's happening right now to Trump, but it could be used against Democrats too. I get so frustrated I get so frustrated when the Democrats use a rule in Congress. You know, they're going to expel somebody, they're going to censure somebody, and the Republicans come back and they say, "We're going to do it too because we can, because you did it." We are stooping to a very low level, and I wish we would get back to a place of civility. Yesterday, I had a conversation last night I was with this the same economic development group that's here from another nation, and we were talking about the good old days and American politics. And I laugh because I'm 43 years old, you guys. I got into this 20 years ago, and there has been a tremendous difference in the personal way in which we take and do politics. I eat, breathe, live this, and I recognize that there are people on the other side who have personal lives, and they make personal choices, and we can keep that apart from their politics and keep that apart from what we're doing, where the bar is, I suppose. And so, yeah, Trump, total creeper. Someone quote me on that later, put it on a mail piece when I run for office again. But that's not a reason for a quick trial. And that's not a reason for our nation to be ignoring these tremendous problems that we have and using this as a distraction. All right. We are going to hit a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get into another topic before my friend Tim joins us. I want to talk a little bit about Kay Ivey. And just some of the what's going on with statewide elected officials. So stay tuned for that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here. You know, Sean and I were talking yesterday. I never got to come on his show before because this was the same time as my show back when I had my own show. And so so I am really excited to be here because I would presume that Sean has listeners. Jeff Poor does not, and vice versa for that matter. And so so great to talk to you guys. Great to hear from you. And I just texted this one of the listeners, but I believe I've convinced Sean to let me come on his show as a guest more frequently. So so we will figure that and sort that out. But I will be a recurring guest. Some of you will love it. Some of you will hate it. And such is life, right? Okay. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit. I have never been so excited to be so wrong in my life. But Governor Kay Ivey, again, polled as one of the most popular governor in the nation. And this time, it was actually earned. Yay! For those of you who do not know, I have not been a big fan of the governor's, mainly because in her first term, and I'd say even not even necessarily her first term, but her first term and the time where she took over for Bentley, she was largely lauded for having been breathing and not getting into a scandal, not getting arrested, and not really doing much. And my standards for statewide elected officials is a little higher than that. Just a little, okay? I don't want to be mean to Ivy. Actually, I used to be kind of mean. But really, what I wanted was a DeSantis-type governor. And there is absolutely no reason in a red state for us to have had a governor who did not weigh in or put strong statements out on big issues. And sure enough, Governor Kay Ivey has really stepped it up. This year, she made education and school choice a priority. She has been outspoken about the protection of our girls in our sports, in our classrooms. She has done these, taken on issues that she just had been too silent on, for my own taste. Issues that need to be addressed and needed to be addressed. And so I didn't support Kay Ivey in the governor's race. I actually supported Lindy Blanchard, for those of you who didn't know, who is just a phenomenal woman and is very active in the Trump campaign right now. But I was really just not an Ivey fan, and she is winning me over. Now, you can't win them all. I think that she is, there's been going to be a couple more issues where she and I are on the opposite sides. But she has done more now in the second term, which has been surprising than she did her first years. And so kudos to the governor for that. those of you who have Twitter, if you're not following me, you can find me at April Marie. That's APRYLMARIE. If you get on now, you can actually see a picture of my little makeshift studio here in the hotel in Montgomery and what I'm looking out at. But the other day, Tommy Tuberville tweeted, okay? This is how I get myself in trouble, by the way. I have a very strong opinions. But Tommy Tuberville tweeted a strongly worded quote. And I, you know what I like about Tommy Tuberville? I really appreciate that he has, he's kind of stopped playing. And I say kind of stopped playing. It's been a minute now since those military holds. But he's really stopped playing the game of pretending that DC insiders and the swamp cannot be challenged. He calls a spade so frequently that it's just absolutely entertaining to me. And so what ends up happening is, so Tuberville tweeted something wild. I tweeted it would be great to have a governor like Tuberville. And someone chimed in, if you're listening, it's one of my Twitter people, chimed in essentially saying I had taken a shot at Will Ainsworth. I want to address that, and that was paraphrasing. It was like telling a joke and missing the punchline, but that was essentially what happened. But what I want to say is we need people who are willing, and everyone's able, right? But willing to stand up and say, this is wrong. What's happening in our state is wrong when it comes to a number of things. We have too many mayors not doing enough about crime. We have too many schools that are failing. We have too many people who are encouraging ideology to be snuck into our classrooms. Heck, from preschool through college in Alabama, we have real problems. And our leaders are need to stop saying the polite thing and say the honest thing. Say, we're going to fight back. Say, the establishment in Montgomery that has, the handful of lobbyists that hold control, have the ability to stop bills in their tracks. We're going to stand up to them. We're going to do hard things. And we're not going to do hard things just to message them, just for the sake of having something to put on a mail piece later. But we're going to do things that that move the ball forward in our state and address these really important issues. And we get these canned speeches. You guys, election year, it's the same thing over and over, and every Republican says it, and every Democrat has their messages, and then they don't do anything. I want the kind of leadership, and I hate to harp on them because I just do, but the DeSantis leadership, where he says, I've identified a problem, I'm calling on the legislature to fix it, I'm going to fix it in any way I can through any power I have, and we're not going to let status quo go. You look at what DeSantis did in Florida with Disney taking them on. How many lobbyists do you think called him and said, this is a terrible idea? How many contract lobbyists are on staff and have been on staff for Disney? And yet he took it on. I want Alabama. There is absolutely no reason that Tommy Tuberville is the only guy who will call out establishment things when establishment things are happening. I mentioned earlier my support of Lindy Blanchard. We have a Republican governor, and she has made Democrat appointments to judicial seats, and the excuse is, well, we'll put her person in and hopefully they'll continue. But there have been opportunities to get Republicans in places that Republicans would never be in judgeships across the state, and she's not doing it. We need a governor who's going to step up and make sure that hard things are done. I'm already looking at the next governor's race. I'm already looking at the next lieutenant governor's race. And you're crazy. I know a lot of you guys listen to Jeff Poore, so you know this. But you're crazy if you don't think that the jockeying, and I say as I look out the window here in Montgomery, that it's already begun. And so let's call them out. Now, again, I did not call out Ainsworth. I just said I want somebody who's going to do it, is going to have the backbone. And Will, when Will ran for lieutenant governor, he ran against Twinkle Kavanaugh. Now, I adore Twinkle Kavanaugh, and I'm interested to see what she's going to do next. But I supported him, even though he was not supported by the Montgomery establishment. And I just want, when the time comes around again for the governor's race, for the lieutenant governor's race, I want candidates who are out there who are going to talk about the real issues facing our state and this nation and how we're going to fix those things. All right, I'm going to get down off that soapbox for a minute. But kudos to Governor Kay Ivey for being the most popular governor in the nation again, as opposed to last time when people were just really happy with her because she wasn't involved in a scandal. I feel like she earned this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to be joined by Tim Phillips. Tim has a consulting company now, but he used to be the head of Americans for Prosperity, the national organization. We're going to talk presidential politics. We're going to talk some policy. Oh, I know. We're going to talk some Taylor Swift. Back in just a minute.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
There will be no personal nor...
all right. So I will say that will never stop being funny. At least once every time I do the radio show, each radio show, now that I'm guesting all around, I'd say there's a moment where I say or do something where people go, ah, they put a liberal on. Usually it's when I start my Trump is kind of a clown thing. Guys, he's a clown who has made some very good appointments and has some very good positions, and I will vote for him. All right. But this time it's going to be on something different because, like I said, even though the play-in says no booing, you're allowed to boo, I am starting to be really interested to watch Bill Maher and Fetterman. And I want to know what has happened to deprogram these two men against the, and I'm not, by the way, saying that they both have gone completely conservative, because neither have, but they are both more and more frequently speaking out against the leftist ideology that is pushing their party into insanity. And there's almost no other way to describe it. If you talk to, and I do, I frequently talk to Democrats, they are mortified by the gender ideology stuff, by the fact we can no longer, it's impolite and wrong to say we want women's spaces that do not involve men. It is wrong to say what happened in Israel was a terrorist attack and Hamas needs to completely be wiped out. I think that there are Democrats, I don't think, I know that there to be Democrats who believe these things, but what we need is more individuals with a national presence saying it, more individuals with a national voice and a microphone to say crazy is crazy. And why I bring this up is because I have a tendency to share when Bill Maher goes on his latest on these giving these speeches about some of this craziness. And he's done it twice lately. And it's two issues that should really resonate. One of them is on protecting the kids. And if you missed the Bill Maher speech on maybe DeSantis had it right, maybe conservatives have it right when they're talking about what Hollywood has done and is doing to kids and how they are targeting kids for these ideological messages that are just ridiculous, how they are pushing agendas onto our kids, and how children these days are being over-sexualized by very specific demographics. And it is turned into a breath of fresh air to see Democrats come out and speak against what we know to be just wild. And so I had to say, I was watching the Bill Maher, Katie Couric interview where he is defending Trump supporters and talking about the coverage there. And then, like I said, the Disney and child one. I really believe that if one-on-one, in even some of the most liberal crazy places you're going to find, one-on-one, you talk to people, they know that a man can never become a woman. They know that putting a child in front of a stripper is wrong. If that stripper happens to be a man doing provocative dressing as a woman and doing the same performance and getting cash, that continues to be wrong. It doesn't get right because of a new wild political ideology. And maybe we should just stop it. Maybe we should ask adults, what are you doing? Why do you insist there be men in women's spaces? Why do you insist that children have this in their classrooms? It is encouraging to see Democrats who are starting to come awake to this, and I will just be applauding it as it continues. All right, so my next guest just sent me a message that he is going to be unable to make it, so we will carry on with the topics that I had planned to talk about with him. Okay, someone messaged earlier today about the squatter bill, and hopefully Alabama does something to protect against the squatters. You guys, it is 2024. We have created, and by created, we have allowed an entire pocket of a young generation to believe that rent is racist, that home ownership and people who buy property for to rent them out or to flip them or to whatever, that is wrong. We have taken the American dream and convinced kids that it's completely unattainable. Now, by the way, I was looking to move this time last year, and I've been looking at, now I still get alerts on home prices. I know that buying a house is hard right now. I know that everything right now in our economy is hard because Biden has done that by design. Bidenflation has raised the cost of everything it takes to live. But this idea that we need to allow squatters, people who just wander into a property, to have any kind of court process, or who have overstayed a lease and stopped paying rent, or who have, rented a place for a short period of time and then stayed there. We have got to do something. So as a society, this is not this is not something that's debatable. Why? Why do we need a bill about squatters to get rid of squatters? Squatters don't have rights. Property owners have rights. This is absolutely one of the most insane political discussions I have ever seen and heard. And it go back to this college campus and what are these kids being taught? Well, I looked at the immigration. I don't know if you guys saw the illegal immigrant. And yep, I just called him that. That's what he is, an illegal alien who was giving tips to people on how to become a squatter and how to go in and take over a house in the places in which you can do so. This is mind-boggling. Take these people who are in homes and put them in jails. That's what should be done. We shouldn't need laws for that. Laws to protect homeowners. It is your house. This is bizarro world. All right, I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get into some of today's other top topics. I know I'm a conservative Republican and a woman, so I may be kind of feeding into the stereotype here, but we're going to talk about this whole backlash against Taylor Swift. And just so you know, I'm not for it. It's ridiculous. Back in a minute with that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
April Marie Fogel here, filling in for Sean today, and it's turning into the old lady shaking my fist in my front yard, telling those young whippersnappers to get off my lawn. Actually, more accurately, what I'm doing today apparently is ask ourselves what is happening and how do we fix it. This is self-reported, but young people who are scared to do things. So this is just young adults, a self-answered questionnaire on how many have driver's license, how many have tried alcohol, how many have worked for pay or ever had a date. And it's through the years from 1976 to 2022. And it's a chart, and it is stunning. One of the things that really sticks out to me is how many young adults and teenagers have never been on a date. How many teenagers are waiting to get their driver's licenses? Look, there's a couple things on the list that we're not going to encourage teenagers and young adults to do anyway. But I'm telling you, we have a problem, and I see it. I see it as a mother where we have overcorrected for the parents who had latchkey kids. I was a latchkey kid. We've overcorrected with parents just insulating their children so much. And I'm not talking about like the helicopter parenting. It's worse than that. It's parents who are raising children who then become, teens and young adults who don't know how to live. And we have convinced them, we have convinced these young adults, young men scared to death to ask a girl out because they don't know if they can compliment a girl at work. We have young men who don't want to ask a girl out for fear of being told they're sexually harassing someone. We have young women. This is one of my gets under my skin. Young women who don't understand that men aren't trying to mansplain things to them when they're just trying to have a conversation. There was a post the other day about a young woman with a tattoo, and the man came up and talked to her about the tattoo. The tattoo, by the way, was oddly Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac. And a young man came up and tried to talk to her about it, and she said, "He was mansplaining to me." No, he was trying to have a conversation, and we have an entire generation of people, and I say generation, it might even be a couple decades now, who have just been so corrupted by what the left has done, feminist and and you know, mothers who protect both their boys and their girls, air quotes, protect. And now people can't have normal conversations or relationships or friendships. You know what? The day my children are eight, each of my three children, and I've got, for those just tuning in, I've got a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and an 11-year-old. And the moment those children can start driving, they're going to be driving because I'm not chauffeuring them around. We got guitar lessons and soccer and things. No, I will teach them responsibility and I will send them out on their own. On that note, I will also teach them to read a friggin' map. Can I tell you how it is embarrassing to me to have babysitters who their phone dies and they can't get to my house even if they've been there several times? What in the world is happening? So yes, this has turned into an April Marie preaching segment on the problems with today's youth, but I didn't mean it to be. I need us to all look at ourselves and look at what we're teaching our kids. I'll tell you my funny list of the people who are going to be able to change the world. If you have young people around you, these are the things you need to do to teach them to survive when no one else around them can. A, drive a stick shift. B, be able to pump their own gas. Have a conversation. The cell phones go out. There's no internet. These kids don't know where to find an answer. What do you do if you can't Google something? What do you do if you can't use a GPS? We are a society that has stopped helping people be independent. You know, I remember when my math teacher would say growing up, you're not going to always have a calculator with you. Well, I pretty much almost always have a calculator with me. It's in my phone. But we still need to be able to prepare kids today, I say kids today, young adults today, to recognize these skills that they're going to need. What have we done wrong when, as a society, we have a tremendous number of young adults that have not worked for pay? That didn't have summer jobs. They don't know what they're doing when they hit the workforce. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how to manage their money. This is a society where we've begun allowing these kids, I say kids, young adults, to fail. We have set them up for it. Musing, I tweeted about this one day, using a manual can opener. Do you guys know there is an entire generation of kids at college who don't know how to use a manual can opener? I got no rhyme or reason for that. All right. That was just surprising things. The guys, you're probably not going to hear this from Sean and Jeff Poor. Just the things we need to be aware of. So what do we do? What's my solution? I'm over here whining about the problem, acknowledging the problem. The problem is we have young adults who don't have these. Look for your grandkids. Look, ask the young people you work with what it is that you do beyond writing in cursive and, you know, old-fashioned pen-to-paper math or notes. What is it you do that they never learned how to do? What have they seen on TV that they couldn't do themselves? My kids can pump gas. I'm seeing kids who are getting their driver's license who are learning to pump gas as they're learning to drive. That's ridiculous. Let your kids get out of the car. Teach them to clean the car and pump the gas. This isn't hard. This isn't rocket science. I'm not asking you to send them up to Huntsville to become little astronauts. I am saying we need to be doing the basics. Each of us, man or woman, regardless of what your politics are, not complicated. Let's do better. Joe just wrote, it's not only parenting. Kids don't have social skills. They've lived online. That is so true. I cannot tell you we have device-free play dates because if it were up to kids and young adults, they would sit in the same room looking at their devices. And that isn't life. And that isn't healthy. And we have to stop it. And as we get more and more divided by things that, by the way, should not divide us. I mentioned this earlier. What is a man should not be an issue here. So the support of Hamas, not an issue here. They are terrorists. They need to be eliminated, period. We have these issues that have become debatable. And so people are silent. No, let's teach our kids. First off, let's teach our kids to be kids. Okay, they don't need to be talking about this tough stuff. I said earlier to a group that my daughter asked me one afternoon after school, are we Republicans? She's 11. I said, no, this was by text message. I was coming in on a flight. And so when my text popped back up, that was the message I got. And I said, no, we aren't anything. You're 11. You don't get to vote. You don't get to be a part of a political party. You don't need to be a part of a political party. Let's get kids to use their imagination and play and figure out how to be a community again. Because I tell you, it's this lack of community that is our undoing. This lack of who is my neighbor and how can I help them today? Who is my neighbor and do they need my help today? Can I just smile and be brighter? All right. When we come back, I'm going to get into more. Stay tuned.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Getting some text in on the text line. Preston got himself a big family, father of five, grandfather of seven so far, saying, I am right on. I'm telling you guys, and it's funny because when I had my own show, I didn't do an out full hour of world young get off my lawn talk, but I'm going to do it anyway this today. We have got to do something to make the young adults in America, A, realize they've been lied to, okay? A man complimenting a woman is not sexual harassment. For those of you who missed the memo, you can tell me I look nice any day and I'm not going to take it personally. Nope. Asking a girl out, once, okay. More than once harassing, yeah, that's a problem. But we have a generation of young men afraid to step up and create families. We've people who don't know how to communicate with one another. Our birth rate is on the decline. I'm going to say that again. The U.S. birth rate is at an all-time low. And why is this? I think it's a number of reasons. I think we have overparented our kids. I think they don't know how to behave in social settings. We have been sold, and I say this as a single woman and 43 now as a Monday. The best thing in the world is an intact marriage and family, mother and father living together in a healthy relationship. All this, we're going through a downtime. We need a divorce. I'm not happy. We need a divorce. No, cut that stuff out. Life is about living the ups and downs together. We have an entire generation who have been told that relationships are disposable, that you can just swipe left and get rid of somebody, that there's someone else out there, and we have to fix that. I'm Catholic. I've gone through phases of my life of spending more time in church and not. High school, I was at church 5-6 days a week, every opportunity I got. I've gone back and forth. When my kids were a little younger, I didn't go to Mass as much as I should have. But I'm doing it more now. And I'll tell you that old adage of just get back in church. Just get young people back into places where you can meet and talk to each other and find things in common. And we have to do this. I mean, for the sake of our nation, for the sake of our world, we've got millions of people coming across our border, and they're coming from all over the world. And I know you guys know this. They're coming from all over the world, and a lot of them are not coming here to seek opportunity. They're coming here because they hate us and they want to undermine everything we are, everything we've built. And our best defense against that is our own children if we teach them right, if we raise them right, if we look at what's happening on college campuses and figure out how to root it out, how to get the ideology out of the classroom, how to teach actual history, and hey, how to promote patriotism. We are a great country. And now I'm preaching. Someone get me a pulpit. We are a great country because of the way we care, because of the way we have traditionally looked out for our neighbors, because we care. We have gotten into this, the government's going to do it. I see someone on the street. There's a program for that. We've got to get back to, instead of there's a program for that, there's a church for that. There's a charity for that. There's a guy in my neighborhood who helps with that. And that's how we win back our country. That's how we defeat these leftists on campuses. This is how, when we send our kids to college, they are impenetrable to this ideology, to these ideas that that we're not a great nation, that we are a inherently racist nation, that we are inherently bad people. We defeat that by teaching people values. We've got a lot of squatters who are not U.S. citizens, but we have squatters who are these just entitled brats. And a big part of that is no one taught them not to be entitled brats. No one said you're being a little entitled brat. And so that is, Pat says, you sure are pretty, ma'am. Thanks, Pat. We need to, as a society, get back to, and I'm going to encourage you today, just like you're at a sermon, to when you get home, someone said earlier that they listen all day to news talk. Well, when you get home, when you turn off your radio, don't just be mad at the world around us. Do something about it. If you got grandkids, you call your kids and you talk to them. Ask them if they know how to use a can opener, if they know how to pump gas, if they the last time they hung out with their friends, if they put their devices down. Call your kids, if you've got a kid in college, and talk to them about what they're seeing. Ask them if they've been to protests. Ask them if they know friends who have been to protests. Ask them if they know what the protests are about. This, it's action. It's not talk. I love talk radio. What I love about talk radio is that the people who listen to talk radio care. You care to be informed. You care enough to be angry. You care enough to be involved. But listening, nobody's ever listened their way to a better nation. It's doing. Our founders did. They fought. They stood up. They took chances. They debated. And that's how we got the country that we have. And if we aren't careful, we will lose it. And if you look around you, it looks like we're starting to. We're starting, and it's not, it's not yesterday. It's not this protest. Was it the George Floyd protest? Was it before that? I look back at even the last 20 years, and I go, what in the world is happening to us? But the better question isn't what is happening, it's why is it happening and how do we fix it? How do we stop this generation who is scared of their own shadow, who isn't living life the way it needs to be lived? Well, who are you to say how life should be lived? Well, I'm somebody who's lived my life a lot of ways I wish I could take back. I'm someone who has lived and taking chances. And we have kids afraid to take chances. We have kids who don't value the things they're supposed to value. Family, God, our country. It's not cliche. This isn't something we should only be hearing about and talking about during election years. This is literally the fight of our lives. And we're in it together. For those of you who are just tuning in and going, what in the world has happened to Sean today? Sean is not here, and he made the boneheaded mistake of letting me fill in. This is April Marie Fogel. You can find me on, now I've been active on Twitter. If you guys listen to Jeff Poor, you know I took a sabbatical during Lent of Facebook, but I'm back on both of those now. It's at April Marie, APRYLMARIE. And I've just really enjoyed being here with you guys today. You guys are, you guys have sent some kind messages. Nobody has been mean to me. We've still got another minute or two, but thank you for that welcome. I want you to stay tuned on this channel. I will be on, I think we're going to do Tuesdays. I think I'm going to come on weekly with Sean on Tuesdays at 1:00. And you can always find me on Jeff Poor's show on at 10:30 a.m. on Fridays, though I'm pretty flexible, so I let him move it around a little bit. But it's been great being with you today. Take what I say to heart. It is not enough to listen to the radio. It's not enough to hear what's going on. You have to fix it. And we have to fix it, because if we don't, then what we lose, we may not be able to get back. We likely will not be able to get back. And that is not good enough. We owe it to the people who gave everything, who fought for our nation, to continue for us to fight, for us to fight for our children. All right. Well, thank you for being with me today. I just want to say, so earlier today, I said my friend was joining me, and he just walked in. But as we are wrapping up today's program, we'll have him on the next time I guest host. I'm going to make him give me an IOU. And we'll do that. All right. Well, thank you again for taking the time to listen today. The topics I did not get to, we will get to next time, including Taylor Swift, because my friend and I had a whole Taylor Swift conversation planned. We are wrapping up today's, well, I'm looking over here to double check what time I'm, there you go. I am wrapping up today's program. Thank you for sticking with me, and stay tuned for the Feinbaum Show.